Oh, hello there, boys, girls, and betweeners. I'm forgetting about you. Welcome to the Pointless Podcast. Kevin Pereira here. Hopefully you know that by now. My guest today is the wonderful, the talented, the delightful, the adorable, Anna Akana. And listen, usually there's an explicit tag on these things, and you know by now that this podcast is probably not safe for work, and it's not safe for human beings. For audible consumption or video, if you're watching it on youtube.com/supercreative. Hey, all I'm trying to say is Anna and I get into some shit. There's going to be some drug talking, some sex talking, and some very poignant suicide discussion as well. So this episode has its peaks and its valleys, but I think it was all poignant and fun. And I'm a super fan of Anna. I love her work. I love her honesty. I love her presence in this world. And hopefully you'll enjoy the journey that we go on together, because I certainly did. If you guys want to watch these live, by the way, we do them over at twitch.tv/theattack. That is our Twitch channel. And if you want, you can subscribe over there. You can also back us on Patreon at patreon.com/theattack. And over there, we also have a behind-the-scenes podcast. We also play games with priority gaming servers. There's all sorts of perks, and we appreciate every ounce of support that you can give us, because this operation only exists because of you guys right now. Wait a minute, Kevin, you're a liar. Excuse me? What did I just say to myself? I said you're a fucking liar. Why is that? How could that be? Me? It's because we have a new sponsor today! I hope there's applause there. There probably won't be. Guys, we do in fact have a new sponsor, so let me take 5 seconds and tell you about them, because they're awesome. It's Backblaze.com, and if you do go there, throw a /pointless. Yeah, that's right. Backblaze.com/pointless. They are an online backup solution for everything. You got documents, you got some Muzak, some photos, some videos, any general user data. We'll go to Backblaze.com/pointless, get a no-risk, free 2-week trial. These Backblaze guys, they've got over 150 petabytes. So if you're like, if you're totally into petabytes, if you're a pedophile, head on over there. They have backed up over 150 of them. That's for their customers. And backing up, that's pretty easy, right? You've used services before. You throw some files in a folder and it's backed up. Restoring data, though, actually getting it back, that can be the complicated part. And Backblaze has restored over 10 billion files. You can have fully online access to your files from anywhere you have an internet connection. They've got iPhone apps. They've got Android apps. You can restore one file or all of your files. There's an easy web interface. There's USB hard drives available for larger restores. And it runs natively on the Mac and the PC. And here's the best part. No add-ons, no gimmicks, no additional charges. It's $5 a month per computer. That's it. For unlimited, unthrottled backup. Throw as many files as you want on there and drag them from the cloud. Use them as your hard drive. $5 a month per computer. No catch. Listen, backing up is important. You have to do it. We do it here, and we do it on Backblaze.com. Throw the /pointless over there. Get your free trial going. Again, that's Backblaze.com/pointless. 2-week free trial. Back it up. Back it up. And dump it like it's a truck, and it's hot. That's not their slogan. Enjoy the podcast with Miss Anna Akana.
This podcast should be American. 110% fucking blood red American.
B-N-E-A-A.
Fuck yeah! Everybody slaying vagina left and right. Cyborg Jesus.
Jesus America.
Multi-dimensional
Kevin is really unhappy with me. I should be launching yachts. Look at this. This is like,
oh my god!
Like I'm hosting a wine and brie night at the harbor.
You look like a preppy Harvard dude right now.
Let's officially start the thing.
Yay!
Shall we? Hello there, boys, girls, and in-betweeners. Welcome to yet another Pointless Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Pereira. My guest today is a multifaceted, multi-dimensional,
woman.
Yep, sure is.
Yeah.
Many women, all packed in there. Several vaginas on this one today. She is a entrepreneur. She is a creator. She is an author. You're an author as well.
Sure.
You have so many hyphenates, so many slashes.
I know. I heard a quote once that like the more hyphens you have, like the more of an asshole you are. So I'm just like, oh.
Oh, you're off the charts. It's like you and Yeezus.
Yeah.
It's really close.
Oh, I'd love to be Kanye.
Fashion designer as well.
Thank you.
I don't want to lump that into the entrepreneur thing, but it is an entrepreneurial endeavor.
I sell the clothes.
Anna Akana is here, everybody. And by everybody, I mean you and I and Alex. Woo! And there are some people tuning in live on Twitch right now. So hello
to
those folks on Twitch. And if you're watching and you have questions and anything else, feel free to throw them in there. At the end of the show, we'll get to them. But now we have got to talk about you.
Yes.
Because on the way here, you came from an improv class.
I did.
And I heard on the way here that you signed 3 new endorsement deals. You have a new series with the Fine Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
You bought a controlling stake in Maker?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I own Maker now.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
That's cool. Are you going to do anything with it? I'm waiting for them to do something.
No, you know, I'm happy to have it and just be in the Disney wheelhouse and family.
Yeah. Just another collection, something for you to put on your shelf next to your snow globes and cats.
You know how it is.
How busy are you these days?
I'm trying to get better about not overpacking my day. I used to be like, I wake up, I work until I go to sleep, and I have insomnia, so that would be like working for a very long time.
Sure.
Now it's like, okay, slow the fuck down, go out and have a drink, see a friend, you know, read a book, do some shit. So now I'm like slowing down and not hitting the work as hard.
When did it ramp up for you? When did all of... Because it's, you don't wake up one day and suddenly your calendar is filled with dots and you go, oh, what happened to my life? Like, it is a slow burn, and then suddenly your life is consumed.
Probably like this year. This year has been the busiest year for me. I passed the million mark on subscribers. Thank you. Thank you. I'm a millionaire now.
I remember that day.
Oh, it's
For you, not for me. I passed 1,000 like a week ago. It's like, shit. Suck it, YouTube.
A
million subs.
Cool.
That is In TV parlance, it used to be you have to be available, not viewed in, but available in 35 million or 40 million plus homes. And until you were, you did not matter. Advertisers, advertisers that would buy off the card, meaning that they would go like, look, we're going to spread money around and we're going to honor these networks simply because they're available in this many homes. Correct me if I'm wrong. The million mark on YouTube is seen as like that is one of those checkpoints. That is one of those holy shit. It's the $1 million club. It's the millionaire club.
Yeah.
Suddenly, like, different doors start opening with advertisers, with collaborations, with studios. Am I crazy or is that still
the case? No, that's totally correct. I mean, there's a lot of places that classify you as a YouTube millionaire, which is very misleading about your financial status.
Right.
But it did open a lot of doors for me in terms of like, now I can make sponsorship money and I can actually make stuff that doesn't look like it was made in my house by myself. So it's wonderful.
So what's the first, is it a Squarespace lower back tat? What are you going to go for? Who's the first big sellout? I mean, you've had some big branded deals before already.
Yeah, I did Chevy. I did a Truth Campaign. I did Audible is one of my frequent ones. I love Audible. Love those guys. That's all I
know. I thought you were going to launch into an Audible ad. I was like, love those guys. In fact, if you go to Audible right now, you can pick up a...
They didn't pay me, so no.
So no, okay. You said this year has been really crazy for you, but when did the march down this path really begin for you?
I'd say when I was 19, that's when I started doing stand-up, because my sister died when I was 17. And so it was like 2 years of like never laughing. And then I finally saw like a stand-up special on Comedy Central, and I was like, oh, that's so funny. Like, that's so cool. I can do that. And so I started hitting stand-up really hard until I got like anxiety so bad. Like, I would just have diarrhea before every show and like try to cancel and like say my grandma died to like get out of it. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this YouTube thing where I don't have to be in front of people and I don't have these chronic problems. And now I'm back into stand-up.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the YouTube channel at first, it was just GoPro videos of the explosive diarrhea.
Exactly.
Right? That was your first 999,000 subscribers.
It's just the POV.
I hope it's in an otter box. I really do, because you're going to be going through those like candy. Do you mind if we talk about your sister for a second?
Because
you've spoken at length and we've had chats about it as well, but I remember when we first said it was so nonchalant.
Yeah,
the way you dropped the fact that your sister she committed suicide.
Yes.
And I assume that it's that it can only come with years and years of processing the event and the emotions of it. You said for 2 years you didn't laugh.
That's correct.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it would be like maybe bitter laughter, but like actually laughing and finding things funny, it took me 2 years, and it took me 7 years to actually make a suicide joke. Like, before that point, it was anytime someone used the term in conversation, like, oh, if I had to sit in one more minute of traffic, I'd kill myself.
Right.
It would feel insane, and it would bring it all back like immediately. And so I was never able to see any humor in it until last year was the first time I made a joke about it. And so now I'm at stand up and I'm trying to do these jokes, and people are very uncomfortable with it. So it's trying to figure out how to let people know it's okay to laugh. You know, it didn't happen to you. It's fine.
Right. Yeah. It never does, because if it happened to you, you don't experience those consequences. Yeah. You don't have to live with the uncomfortableness.
Yeah.
I saw a video that you made where you talked about suicide, not from the, it was like, hey, don't do it. Here's the reality of what you leave behind. Mm-hmm. And that to me was super impactful as well, because you always think, I mean, of course you should think about whatever led the person to make a decision like that, mm-hmm. you know, to go through that, the pain they must have felt or whatever, but you don't often get to hear about it from the perspective of those who it directly affects.
Yeah. And I went through years of therapy for it. And like one of the exercises in therapy is to like talk to the person as if they're there. And there was a lot of just like, hey, fuck you, because I have to live with this for the rest of right. my life. It's completely derailed like me as a person. And you have to turn it into something good. So I definitely turned it into something that I could use. So now I'm like in entertainment, and that's something I never would have done. So it's the best thing and the worst thing that's ever happened to me. But sure. ultimately it is like, hey, fuck you. You left us all.
Where would you have seen the path? Like what path were you on before this incident?
I was going to go into the military. Like my father and his father before him. And I also wanted to get a degree in chemistry and be a veterinarian when I was discharged.
Oh, I thought it was for biological warfare. I didn't know. No. Okay. So you wanted to be a veterinarian
yeah.
that had just served.
Yeah. That really? Was the goal for like 19 years of my life.
And I could see how after those 2 years you were like, let's try the joke laughs.
Yeah.
Let's try the smiley thing.
Yeah.
Instead, let's do that. When you said only recently you've been comfortable making jokes about it, do you mean about her passing specifically or about suicide in general?
Suicide in general.
Yeah.
Even more so, her suicide specifically has always been very difficult to deal with and even think about and even talk about in like a serious manner. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of like when I knew that I need to start talking about this because it's so hard to, that it felt like it was owning my life.
Yeah. Instead of letting the difficulty of the situation overwhelm it and take whatever control you can,
yeah.
right? Take charge of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But she was younger than you?
She was 13, and she was bullied a lot. She got expelled from school because a bunch of boys threatened to beat her up, so she brought an airsoft gun to school, and then she was the one who was expelled. And there was some small abuse happening. So my dad was really pissed and like upset, and he's just naturally like a very angry person prior to her death. And so she just kind of like one day got into a fight with every single one of us and then killed herself and like wrote a really shitty suicide note that my parents won't ever let me and my brother read. And it was weird too, because like the inciting incident was like she wasn't allowed to sleep over at like her friend's birthday party. She was allowed to go to the party. She just couldn't sleep over. And she just ended up getting so crazy and insane and then like screamed at all of us and locked herself in her room.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that letter is something that exists somewhere. It still is floating around.
My dad says he lost it. I don't know if he did, then he's an asshole. And if he didn't, he's just trying to protect me. But I think he actually lost it.
You think he really
lost it? I think he really did.
I had it under the TurboTax files. I don't know when. Well, it got looped in with the hand turkeys that Anna drew in fourth grade.
Yeah, you know, just all up in that box of childhood memories.
You must have given some thought as to what is in it.
She probably called me a bitch. Probably said we were all cunts and that she hated us all and she hopes that we miss her and fuck us all. You know, because she was really, really upset. And we, as a family unit, we tend to scream at each other and be very mean. Mm-hmm. And so, like, the last thing I ever said to her was, like, I hate you. Get the fuck out of my room. And so I'm sure in her suicide note, she did that times 100. Yeah.
Ooh. Wow. Let's talk YouTube parties and VidCon now. No, I appreciate you being so open about it, because I can only imagine who might be hearing this, whether they're in your situation, your sister's situation, your father's situation, who knows?
Yeah.
How, I'm sure you've had countless conversations and maybe not even known who you're affecting or who you're touching or who you're reaching out to.
Yeah. And you know, I feel like the best thing you can do is be open about it, because you never know what it's going to do, just to hear that side of things. Because normally everything is so taboo. Like, oh, don't talk about that. Don't talk about that. And so it's like, no, we should be.
Did your sister, emotionally, did you see, were there red flags or were there any issues that you saw before, like prior to mm-hmm. that?
I think she had some mental disorder. Mm-hmm. She was always very manic depressive, but I also don't know if that's just because she was a 13-year-old girl
right.
going through a bunch of shit. So we can never know for sure. I remember I was talking to a therapist and I was like, she didn't mean it. She didn't mean to kill herself. You know, like, it was an impulsive decision made by hormones. And she had posed the question, what if it wasn't? What if she was in so much pain and was going through stuff mentally that she wanted to commit suicide? She knew what she was doing. Especially because she like hung herself in her closet with like a scarf, and there was like a toy chest like right next to it. And it's a tiny closet. So mm-hmm. if she had wanted to stop, she could have just put a foot there and stood up. So that was really the moment for me where it's like, oh wow. Like, could someone be in that much pain that they'd do that? Cause I always wanted to like cut my wrist when I was in middle school, like just for the attention, but I could never do it cause it hurt so bad. So to imagine someone who's in so much pain that they would willingly do that to themselves, it really opened my mind about it and made me want to talk about it.
Well, so that's interesting. Even you have had, or you had that thought, that inclination of like, oh, I want attention right now. Maybe I'll self-harm.
Yes.
Like even you had that.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, you see it a lot in TV or in movies, or even sure. you just read about it in books. And there is that sense of like, oh, I just want someone's attention, or I want someone's love. And the desire to self-harm kind of, I feel like, is romantically tied to that when you're like that young of a teen. So I wanted to, but I could never do it. Yeah.
And you wrote a book about it as well, which I want to get to, but I don't know how, I mean, are you comfortable still like diving into this?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Well, so how is it dealt with in the family? Like when you guys get together, is it still a thing that's brought up, or is mm-hmm. it, look, this is so in the past now, it's all about looking forward?
As a family unit today, we don't talk about it that much unless it's like her birthday or Valentine's Day, because she killed herself on Valentine's Day and like royally fucked the rest of us forever. But there are times when I will bring it up. Like my dad is no longer like that angry, kind of like verbally abusive guy he used to be. But he does have a tendency to take people around him for granted and be very mean to them and like have little patience. So whenever we do witness that, we're like, hey, like you need to stop. Like this is something that probably contributed to this. We don't want that anymore in our family. You don't want that anymore. So we do check each other and keep that kind of like check and balances now. Mm-hmm. Whereas before we were all kind of like very isolated and in our own worlds.
Was it almost denial about, like you said, well, we would just shout, we get angry, mm-hmm. and then you go back to your neutral corner and deny that there's actually a core issue somewhere?
Oh, absolutely. Like, yeah. It was like, oh, dinner time, get your dinner, go to your room, play on your computer by yourself. Like, we didn't really have family dinners, and we didn't, like, have that whole community vibe or being open with each other.
Sure. Sure. Wow. And when it got to its worst, was there blame for the incident being thrown and put on each other's shoulders, or was it put on your sister squarely? Or
I mean, I think we all blamed ourselves in our own way. Like my brother was the one who found her. So he kind of blamed himself for not finding her sooner.
Right.
I'm the one who was the last person to talk to her and said I hated her. So I blamed myself for being that last chance to kind of dissuade her. My dad's the one who was kind of slapping her around before she died. So he obviously blames the way that he dealt with her issues. And my mom honestly blames herself for not seeing it or not knowing it, or the fact that Christina had been dead for 20 minutes upstairs and she didn't feel anything emotionally when she passed.
Oh, like she should have had the sixth sense. She should have felt the tingle. Yeah. There should have been a moment there.
Yeah.
And she should have intuitively known.
Yeah.
Oh, poor thing.
Yeah. Well, she has very weird psychic dreams. Anytime she touches or dreams about, when she touches in the dream about poo, like she'll dream about poo or she'll touch poo in her dream. She'll wake up and tell my dad and they will race to the casino and they win money every time.
Hey,
like
okay,
so
now,
much money every time.
I was in my head. I've got branching paths of dialogue and I'm considering how far down the rabbit hole to go. And then I at some point want to transition to lighthearted fare and
yeah.
crazy ecstasy parties. And I want to get there. And I'm like, how am I going to transition out of this exactly? And you tell me that your mother dreams of poop.
Yeah.
And that is a good omen for the casinos.
Yep. Every time it happens, they go to the casino and they win insane amounts of money every time. It blows my mind.
What do they go? They just go and put money on a number?
Yeah, my dad's a...
Bet on black because it was a darker movement.
Basically,
if it were red, I need more fiber.
Mm-hmm.
She does slots
and my dad will do blackjack. He's a card counter, so it's a little bit of a cheat, but they'll both go and they both win big.
That is incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Dad is a card counter, huh?
Yeah.
Did he teach you?
No.
No?
No. He taught me hold'em, but not counting cards.
Has he been booted out of casinos before?
He's very sly about it. Yeah. He won't go to the same place twice, more than a month. He has like his own little rules, how much he'll allow himself to win, etc.
Good for him.
Yeah.
I love that. I hope you didn't blow up his spot entirely here.
No, it's fine.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I think you're all right. All right. So then you decide it's time to melt this ice. Let's get into joke laughs. Let's do the comedy thing. You turn to YouTube because that crowd, that instant reaction is, I've been in front of it. It's paralyzing.
Yeah.
It's the worst feeling in the world.
Oh, absolutely.
You'll have to pardon my ignorance. I don't know what your first few, months, years, whatever were on YouTube. What were you doing on YouTube at the time?
Well, I did a bunch of web series to start off. So I did something called 10 Second Traumas, and those were all like little 10 second like bits and jokes. And then after that, my writing partner and I broke up. So I started continuing doing stuff on my own. And I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I kind of would just like daily vlog. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know what I want to do. Hi, I'm at a grocery store. And like,
you were that girl on YouTube.
You know, it felt so shitty. So I like immediately deleted them all and started writing like sketches where I acted out all the parts.
Did you ever do a dance in a Best Buy though? Come on. No.
Okay. Hell no.
Killing time before a flight, put on some OK Go and dance on an escalator?
No, it was worse. I would just like sing whatever I was doing. And it was like the whole vlog. I'm just like, I'm buying food and then like eating.
I would totally subscribe to that. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, you got it. All right, so you went to the daily vlog stuff, scrapped it, and said, let's go. And then, because you've been so prolific in such a short amount of time, it is truly inspiring. From films to, of course, dedicating to the YouTube channel. They got the podcast now, the clothing thing. Like, what is driving you on a daily basis?
I guess the like fear that I'll never be anything or anyone or achieve any greatness. Like, there's this, like, weird sense of, like, oh, if I don't leave a mark on this world, like, there's something's going to go wrong. And so, like, every day I just feel like it's not like a race, but it's this weird sense of, like, I got to do stuff.
That's so – it's interesting to hear because I immediately go, yes, I get it. On the other hand, I go, like, fuck, that's such – to me, that is so scary.
Yeah.
Because what does that truly mean? Like, it's – to unpack it, it's like the drive is – well, I got to be a success. What does that even mean?
Yeah.
Because I don't know what it means for me still. I am desperately trying to define it. Do you know what that is for you?
Is it
a dollar amount in a bank? Is it a number of subscribers? Is it a pat on the head from a parent? What is success?
I don't think there is. I don't think we'll ever feel it. And I think it's good we'll never feel it. Because when you think about it, so many people want to be rich and famous. Like, that's the ultimate goal. Even if you love what you're doing and even if you would do it for free, like, rich and famous, that kind of sounds appealing.
Shit, yeah. I love what I'm doing because it might make me rich and famous. Yeah. If it wouldn't, fuck it all.
I know.
I'm going to play more Rocket League on my couch. And eat more froyo.
Exactly. But at the same time, it's like being famous seems like it sucks so much. Like, being rich is pretty great too, but like that comes with a whole new set of problems of like, who are your real friends? Are they really your friends? About family badgering you all the time, about not being able to go outside and go anywhere or go to different restaurants or go to public places. People harassing you constantly. People feeling like they know you and approaching you and you never getting any time alone. Like, that all sounds like fucking horrible, and yet we all still kind of are reaching for it.
Sure.
Yeah.
So that, okay, so that's not success then. So yeah. what is Anna's success? What is success for Anna?
I don't know.
See, isn't that weird though? Because you wake up and you're motivated and you're sprinting towards something, towards that light at the end of the tunnel, which has been stamped success, but you don't know what it is.
You don't know. It's like the weirdest thing in the world. I hate it. I hate it.
I just, you say with a smile, and it's the motivating factor for your being.
I know. I mean, everyone needs a purpose. You know what I mean? I think it's balancing that purpose with clarity of like now I want to slow down, because what's the point of fucking sprinting if you have no one on the other side to share it with? Or if like you die at that time, you're like, oh, well, I achieved success, but now I'm fucking dead and I never partied and did ecstasy or whatever.
Right.
So I think there definitely is a balance, and that's what I'm really working on.
So you hit on something which is very interesting there. What if there's a party, and what if there's no ecstasy?
What if I never go to a party with ecstasy?
Yeah,
or
I mean, what a tragic life that would be.
I know.
So have you checked that box?
Oh, I have.
Yeah?
I did a big drug binge when I was 17 after my sister died. I did like acid and ecstasy and mushrooms, and I smoked weed for the first time. And so,
Doing it at 17 is very different than doing it
as an adult.
As an adult, yeah. So okay, so if we don't mind, let's go back to 17-year-old Anna. Was that was just pure escapism, I'm assuming, at that
point. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What helped you cope the most?
God, time. Just time, yeah. Man. Yeah.
I was really hoping you were going to say mushrooms or something. Mushrooms. Yeah. I was
like, mushrooms. If anyone commits suicide, immediately
guys,
take
immediately
mushrooms.
Go plucking from the cow shit. Maybe that's why your mother's so connected to it. It's where they grow.
Yeah.
So you had a binge. So you really did a blowout and tried what you could try.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's not the most positive way to experience those things, especially under those circumstances. So then there must have been a bit of a gap. And then you we went and dibbled and dabbled.
Yeah,
the stuff that you liked on the other side of that?
Yeah, I mean, there's been scientific research about how psychedelics can be good for you as long as you're not abusing them. Like, mm-hmm. once in a while, having a reset and having that time as an adult, you know, don't be young and do it, but as an adult, to take that time to really let yourself just be out of your mind. It's so great. It's so freeing. It's like a nice little reset button.
Yep.
Especially when you live in LA and everyone's so cynical and everyone on the road is fucking pissed off all the time and the stress levels are so high. It's nice to just be like, oh, wow, this is beautiful. Everything is great. Wow, man.
Have you ever just breathed and hugged a tree? I mean, have you ever done it, though? Because it's so great. No, you're so right. I mean, it is so freeing, and yet the danger comes from the realizations that you can have in that moment, because they can be so freeing. On the other hand, they can really shatter your world when you realize, like, I'm racing towards a goal and I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to put ones and zeros into a bank account and I don't know why anymore. My thing is shinier than the thing that I had last year, but that shininess doesn't seem to make me smile anymore. Mm. What is going on in my life?
These are the questions we ask ourselves.
Yes. And then we sober up and go back to our jobs and yell at our agents, right? That's what happens?
Exactly.
What was the last big blowout you had? What was the last good party?
God, I did Moon Rocks for the very first time, and that was awesome. It was in a really safe environment with a lot of good friends and really good food. So just hung out with my boyfriend in this weird little attic place in this giant mansion of a house that like some friend had rented. It was
like they have all the square footage in the world is mansion. You're like, let's go to the attic.
Yeah.
Let's hang out in the cramped area.
It was cute. It was like a weird little dollhouse
type
attic.
Boxes and dust and ghosts. That's perfect.
Plus, I mean, if you're rolling, you don't want to be anywhere anyway. You just want to lay down.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Especially when you're on good food. I'm like, you could eat your own flesh. And it's like, but I taste delicious. This is perfect.
Exactly.
So you had a bit of a blowout. Now, are you concerned about, because you are, I don't want to say a role model, but you are for some, you know, for a contingent out there. Do you worry about sharing these experiences, or do you feel like that is your responsibility as a role model, is to be honest about your path?
It's that. Like, I've had issues with brands when I make videos, and I'm very open and honest. They're like, we don't want to sponsor this girl. She talks about, she did drugs back in the day and still kind of does them occasionally and semi-annually now. And
I love that. And still kind of does them occasionally, like once in a while or sometimes, like all the time. Like, maybe like once a weekend or whatever. Maybe she's on them now.
Yeah, just some qualifiers.
Just accelerated so much. So brands have shut you down.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. I had a couple brands pull out, and you know, there have been issues here and there. But ultimately, I don't claim to be a role model in any way. And my policy has always been just be honest. Just be fucking honest. Like, I would rather, like, have a couple of brands be like, see you later, than like deny how much I had a great time on those moon rocks.
Like, how was the come down, though? Because as I get older,
it was fine.
Really?
Yeah, I was fine.
But you got youthful exuberance, and I'm like an old tired dog. I'm just got an old worn rope around my neck. Aww. And I'm limping. Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you do? I mean, you were fine the next few days? You were able to get up and
okay.
go?
I was okay. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I was fine on it, which I kind of liked, because I have taken ecstasy quite a bit, and like, I don't like the come down from ecstasy because you just feel like life is nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm returning to normalcy, which was fine before, but now it feels like the worst thing ever. And why does my jaw hurt so much?
Yeah. Maybe smoking weed helps. I feel like if you're just like numb yourself out for that come down, it's fine.
Yeah. Not maybe. Yes. The answer is yes. It absolutely works. Give yourself a nice indica. You'll be fine.
Yeah. You'll
Sativa
be great.
Will re-up you, and it'll make people's faces transform.
Oh, shit.
From what I've been told.
Oh.
So be careful with that, dear listener. So was it, what kind of a, the moon rock thing is, you have to cut off a little bit and crush it up, right? And
well,
then you swallow, or did you just put it in water?
Pill form.
Oh,
they
you just
like
had
the,
it in pill.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had a pill form one.
Did you just do one pill?
Yeah, just one.
Just one for the whole night?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm fine. Like, I took, because I'm small. Like, I don't need that much to trip, you know? So I'm good with one. And I'd rather play it safe and not have as crazy of an experience than be throwing
so
up.
So you can look at a dispensary and get high.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much.
That's good.
I can just pretend to smoke weed and then I'm good.
You can mime yourself into hallucinating. Man, I need to shed some pounds, because that would really... That would really help with the budget for illicit goods. So what are you, you just recently moved in with the boyfriend?
Yeah. Back in March.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And how was, were you guys living together before?
No. Basically, he was coming to my house every single day.
What a freeloader.
Yeah, you know. Well, I have four cats and I have to feed them every 6 hours. So I'd just be like, you have to come to my place. Sorry.
So now you, the four kittens, mm-hmm. you guys pack up. You're in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And how was that transition? How was it? With full-time living.
You know, I love living with him. He's an amazing roommate. And for all I have in fire, he is just a stone. You know, like I could scream the fuck out of him and he'd be like, oh, you're really upset. Like, talk to me about that. Like, it's great, you know?
What winds you up? What gets you going?
Just everything. I love living alone.
Are you mad at me right now? No. You seem like you transitioned just then. You like living
everything,
alone?
Everything, Kevin.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I like living alone. I like having my space. I like everything to be like in its order. And he's a guy, so he's a little bit more messier. Everything is a little bit chaotic. Mm-hmm. And I tend to get upset about things, very small things. And so he's good at just dealing.
So do you grit your teeth and pick up after him? Or are you the more like rub his nose in his mess and say, you need to pick this shit up?
I'm kind of like, I'll do it while I'm saying, I'll be like, hey, maybe you shouldn't like leave food in the sink. Maybe you should make sure all that goes down the drain. And so I'll do both.
Oh, so passive aggressive shout outs.
No, it's not passive. Aggressive.
Oh, it's just pure
it's
aggressive
just
then?
Aggression.
Well, the maybe is a little like, maybe. I go, oh, maybe I should leave some food in the sink. Maybe it's not a problem. Maybe you're taking care of it.
I was being nice. I'm like, hey, don't do this. That's what I normally say.
Got it. How long have you guys been together?
A year in September.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Is that long for you or is that par for the course?
I've been in like 1 to 3.5 year relationships ever since I was 15. So, like, I've never been single for more than 3 months at a time.
Oh, serial monogamous?
Yes.
Sort of thing? Yeah.
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 This one feels like a good stretch, or should he be concerned now that you're like, oh, I've done this before. This is fine.
This feels good. It feels different. It feels like the first healthy relationship I've been in.
I'm always fascinated. There's a movie called You, Me, and Everyone We Know mm-hmm. by Miranda July. A fantastic, fantastic film. And there's a scene in which they're walking down a street. Mm-hmm. And they're saying like, oh, this walk reminds us of like our relationship. You know, we started there and we were fun and now we're in the middle of it. And we're having this discussion and they see Tyrone Street, which is at the end. And that's the name of the street. And they go, we're not there yet, but we know it's coming. Like we're marching towards the end of that relationship. In a little while, we're going to be at that corner and we see it now, but we still have to walk it.
Ooh.
You know, and it's always that feeling of like, oh, fuck. Yeah, I see Tyrone Street. I see it coming up. It's on the map, but we still got it. We got to walk towards there. When you were in those relationships, did you feel they were ending? Was there an inciting incident that said, oh, this is going to be done? Was it really quick?
Or you know when you're not going to make it with someone. You know that shit for sure. I think it's more like, what? Tyrone Street? Where? I'm going to look at the ground.
So you put on the blinders. You feel it and then you go for blinders?
Yeah.
So how long did you stay in one of those relationships, even with the blinders?
God. I was actually in a relationship when my sister died that ended up going, we were like dating for 2 months and it went to 3.5 years and it should not have gone 3.5 years at all. So I've let relationships be very drawn out.
Was that because there was an imprinting during that phase of this person was there through all that? So you stuck with it?
And feeling like you owe them something. You know, I feel like that a lot of the times in relationships, like, oh, I owe this person for like taking care of me financially. I owe this person for helping me emotionally, you know, and then you just kind of let it draw out. But then it's stupid.
I owe them. I owe them my fake affection. And my right. Isn't that what it is?
Like, basically.
Because, I mean, you can trump it up and make yourself believe that there's some affection there. But it's like, yeah, I owe them. So I got to stay in this committed thing that's predicated on bullshit. The foundation is a lie.
Well, that's kind of why I'm so honest now, because I've been such a liar my whole life that I'm like, oh, I should stop that. Stop that shit. You know, that's not good.
Did that come at the expense of friendships and relationships when you started telling the truth?
So, yeah. A lot of the times, yeah. Unfortunately.
Who'd you lose?
A lot of people.
Because you were lying to yourself about the kind of people they were, or because you were lying to them because you had gain from it? I'm trying to figure out.
It's like both. It's really complicated. Like one relationship, I was lying to myself about who he was, and I was also lying to him to make him feel like he was this person he wasn't. And with like certain friends, like not lying in the sense of like being a boss and you're an employee, but you're also like one of my best friends, but I have to play this role right now and I'm not going to bullshit you if you're doing a terrible job. So stuff like that has like lost me a lot of friendships over the years.
Mm. And are you going to see any of these people at VidCon?
Oh God, I hope not.
Are they other famous YouTube millionaires?
No.
Or are they not in the scene at all?
I won't say.
Yeah. No, I won't say is a yes. We'll round that up to a yes. Got it. Okay. That's fair.
You know.
What is the YouTube? Look, I suck at YouTube. And I pretty much suck at all media. But YouTube specifically, I just don't fucking move a needle. I just don't get it. I probably just haven't committed to it. I'm still, I've got, it's the... The boat is near the dock and it's slowly slipping away. And I've got one foot on the digital boat, but the other is still on the dock where I'm comfortable, which is traditional media.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to do a Van Damme split, but it's tearing things. There's shredding happening here. My upper thighs. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Oh, scrote is just, just like a pit bull got into a, like a pen of balloons.
Oh,
it's just
Jesus.
Torn everywhere. I don't understand the community and I'm trying to. What is your experience with YouTube and other creators and the people that you are actually programming for?
God, with the YouTube community, I've always tried to get in it. I think it seems like that group of cool people.
Who's the coolest kid at the cafeteria table?
I think Grace Helbig and Natalie Tran are like two of my like, you're cool.
Grace is the coolest fucking kid on campus, isn't he?
So...
Or she? Isn't she?
You really don't know YouTube.
I don't know. Yeah, no, he's really good. I love his Instavines. I watch him all the time and I always... I like Sub, so it's cool.
Yeah, dope sauce, bro.
Oh, yeah, it's her fleek is on a point.
Yeah, there you go.
It's not sus at all. Grace is like the coolest kid on campus.
Yeah, she's
for sure.
Fucking dope. Like, I got to meet her a couple times and did a podcast with her, and she was just so fucking chill.
But here's the thing. Coolest kid on campus, usually, there's the connotation is like they wouldn't let you sit with them at the cafeteria table, right? You can't get in. Grace is not that girl.
No.
She's super open, accepting, amazing. Who's the really cool kid in the YouTube campus with the slick back hair who's like, nah, fuck you. I'm having this meatloaf and this milk with my friends and you don't get to sit at this table.
God, I don't even know.
Does that exist in YouTube?
I don't know. I'm not that. I don't have a lot of
Chester
YouTube
C.
friends.
It's Chester. Isn't it Chester?
I don't know Chester.
C. I've never actually
Grace.
Met him. Is he? Well, there you go. I don't know. I don't know any of these. There's a talking fruit. That's the last time I watched YouTube.
Oh,
there was a orange that was annoyed with things.
Oh,
the last time I tuned in.
That's so long ago.
No.
That's so long
ago. I'm an old man shaking a cane at the internet.
Age is just in your head, Kevin.
No, that's not true at all. That is not true at all. It's in every cell in my body when I'm at the 24-hour fitness and I'm winded just from walking into the place and putting in my keypad. What about your fans? What about the people who watch you? Have you had many interactions with them and meetups?
Yeah, I used to be anxious about it, and I think that was like influence from one of my exes was very famous on YouTube, and he always had anxiety about meeting fans, and so I think I kind of just assumed like, oh, that must be a very anxious experience, but I enjoy it. Like, people are really nice. Like, for the most part, it's like Asian women between the ages of 13 to 24 who recognize me, and like, I've had some be like just really professional and cool and just be like, hey, I love your stuff, just want to say that it's dope. And then I've had girls who just like cry, like insta-cry tears like immediately.
Yeah.
But they're always so sweet. And
what a wonderful reaction, though, like walking by a Wetzel's pretzel and someone's just like, immediate waterworks.
Yeah. I was just at my friend's wedding and one of his cousins recognized me and she was just streaming tears down her face. And she was like, and I was like, it's fine. I'm not Justin Bieber, you know, it's cool. But it's always so sweet to like have someone feel that much about you, especially because I work so hard to make people like me, like in real life, that once someone's a fan, I'm like, oh great, I don't have to do anything other than like be nice and who you think I am and it's all good, you know.
So there's active energy expended to make that first impression to get somebody
as
a fan, and then you're like, okay, you're in the fold, great, now let's relax.
I know what to do. It's easy. I don't have to like struggle to find something in common with this person and like carry out a conversation. It's just like, oh, you know everything I've put out on the internet. I know how to talk to you.
Right. Yeah. I can talk about me if that's how this is going to go down. This is fine.
It's my favorite topic.
Yeah. So VidCon is coming up for you, right? Isn't that this week? Or
Thursday.
So what is your VidCon? How crazy is that?
I've gone 2 years in the past. The first year I went, it was just as a guest. I didn't really do anything. I walked around for like a day and I got bored and I went home. And then the second year, I was on one panel. That was great. So it was chill. Still, then
what was
went
the,
home.
What was the panel?
I don't even remember.
Okay.
Yeah. And then now they're actually putting me up in a hotel. So
hey now, what a difference a couple years makes.
Next level shit. And I'm on like a bunch of panels and I have like a booth there for my clothing line. So I'm really excited.
So good. So good. Congrats.
Thank you.
Now, I was there 2 or 3 years ago, which I think every year, just much like Comic-Con, it's like I was there. I remember I was there in like 2006 or whatever. And I was like, this is a pretty big convention. And then 2 years later, it was like, holy shit, I can't breathe.
Yeah.
Like this thing is packed. And I feel like VidCon is sort of blowing up in a similar way. It's that accelerated growth. But even a few years ago, it was a shit show after hours.
Yeah.
Like, fuckers were getting plastered at bars. It was like, where's the, oh, the after party's here, but the after after party is in this YouTuber's hotel room. And people are like passed out in hallways and you hear slamming into to walls. Like, it was a shit show. Have you experienced that?
I mean, yeah. Last year I went to Comic-Con, I got like blackout drunk and like was like grinding on some guy in the House of Blues and we were dancing because I was like newly single. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to go find a boy and get laid tonight as a single woman. And so.
This is so empowering. Yeah. Sweat on me and forget my name.
Basically.
Was that single mode for you? Is that, that's no wonder you must stay in relationship for so long.
I hated it.
What is single mode, Anna?
I thought being single was like, oh, I'll go out to the bars and like with my girlfriends and I'll have a good time. But it's like, it sucks. It's boring. And it's like, you're just like always looking for like the next thing. You're looking for someone to connect with. And
right.
I like relationships so much more.
Did you feel like the night was a failure if you didn't make out with a cute boy? Like you didn't make a connection?
Yeah, that's like what your concept of going out like as a success was. And but then that was so fucking empty.
It's such a weird thing to like feel like it's a hunt.
Yeah.
You're literally going to be like, well, I came back empty handed. I didn't land. It's like, but as a girl though, it must be, it's got to be a lot easier. It must be more of a filtering issue where it's like, you could have your pick of that litter. You could make out with anyone. Chances are a guy, okay, I'll make out with you. Fine. Mm-hmm. But it's finding the one that passes the barrier to entry, right? That
litmus test. Someone is not creepy. Someone who you're sexually attracted to. And it's unfortunate, but like for me, when I noticed like I would be really into guys who weren't into me at all. And so I was like, oh, this is a challenge. You
know? It was the want what you can't have sort of thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah? Oh, God. God, single Anna.
Such a slut.
So you were grinding on some boy at the Hard Rock. Mm-hmm. Did that turn into anything or no? That was...
Yeah. We were like friends with benefits for a while until I met Brad. And then I was like, hey, I met someone and I really like him. So bye.
Bye. Face palm. Sleep. Pillow. So VidCon this year, are you prepped? Are you ready for it to be a blowout? Or is this more now it's professional because they're getting you the room and you got the panels and the...
I'm ready to party. You know, and I'm going to be as professional as I can. I mean, I have a 7-minute talk that I haven't even prepared for, so we'll see how that goes.
Is it a TED talk? What are you doing for 7 minutes?
It's a creator keynote. Like, I get to talk about whatever I want. So they're like, pitch us an idea. And I was like, don't be afraid at being bad. And they're like, great, come back with 7 minutes on the day of VidCon.
You're like, well, though, but that is the message.
Yeah.
That's the entire message.
For 7 minutes. I'm just going to say that.
Don't be afraid. If you Shia LaBeouf it.
Oh, my God.
And say it.
This was like, just do it.
Don't be afraid being bad. That is, it is, that, you know, it's the chicken soup for the soul. It's those little pearls of wisdom that as someone who's created for so long and as someone I have tried to create for so long, we take the slogans, we take those bumper stickers for granted. And yet the number of times I have said something like, man, go fail publicly, just go do it. And someone's like, that meant the world to me.
Oh my God.
You know, it's like that we forget that really does mean a lot sometimes, that those aren't just empty words. It's like, don't be afraid to fail. Is there no piece of you that's afraid of failing now? Or every time you click publish, are you mortified?
I'm not so much with the YouTube space anymore because I've done so many videos. It's like, hey, one of these videos could be a piece of shit and there's going to be another one next week. So it's fine. Mm-hmm. It's more so now like failing on stage in front of a crowd. That's more, that's what I'm tackling. Because I have done it less than creating content.
Sure.
And plus, like with videos, you can make something that you're like, this is the worst thing I've ever made. And then it turns out to be your most viral fucking video. That happens to me every time. I've had an idea, like that makeup thing I did where I was like, put on your optimism.
Oh, how to put on your face. Yeah.
That was like one of the first videos I ever thought of. And I didn't do it for like 3.5 years because I thought it was so stupid. And finally, one week, I just couldn't think of anything. So I did it. And then it got 3 million views. And I was like, what the fuck is this?
That's on your wiki. That's like the first video mentioned as like, here's what propelled her to stardom.
I
love that was like a 3-year like, well, I've scraped through the barrel.
Yeah.
There's nothing beneath it. I guess I'll go to this idea.
Yeah. Sometimes it's like the simplest fucking thing. You know, I feel like too, like when you're creating, you tend to complicate stuff so much. Like whenever I get into a new endeavor, do you do this? You like research the shit out of it. You like read every possible interview by every person who ever did it and like look into the, and it's just like, no, just do the thing.
Yeah. You can go do the thing.
Just do the thing a bunch and you'll get better.
Well, I talked years ago with my therapist about this bell curve of anxiety. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but they did like research on musicians and athletes and whatever, and they tested that. They asked them to fill out a questionnaire and do this research thing before and right after an event, whether it was a concert or an athletic sport, an event, whatever. And they found that there is an exact precise curve of anxiety, of optimal anxiety, that if you are not giving the slightest of fucks before an event, you're completely relaxed, you don't care at all, there's no butterfly, not a single butterfly in your tum-tum, you're going to fail miserably at that event. Also, if you stress and worry and get too into your own head about it and have too much anxiety, you shoot to the other side of the hump and you're a train wreck. That is a mess and a failure. But there is, like, clinically speaking, like a level of anxiety which is absolutely healthy. And that is like, and that's what I strive for each time. I try to remind myself, like, I shouldn't be whatever about this. I had anxiety about this podcast before we sat down because I want it to be good. And I want, I want to, of course. So it's like, I try to go like, am I being on the healthy side of this anxiety curve, or have I completely tipped over to the deep end? Because it's true. Like, a little anxiety will make you prep, and that's not too bad. But if you're over prepping, if you're reading every single interview and diving too deep, you're going to get in your own fucking head about it.
Yeah. I like that. I like that research.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
It's a thing. There's an actual chart, but you don't need to see it. Just know. A little bit of butterflies is good. Letterman would say, probably not towards the very end of his career, which is when his show was unwatchable and just terrible. But even he would say before each and every show, he would get that upset in his stomach and he would go. And that would make me feel better going to do Attack of the Show. I'd be like, this is something, this is healthy to feel. If I didn't feel this, this would mean I'm either I'm either way underprepared or I'm not engaged enough to where I'm going to deliver a good product.
Absolutely. Basically. Absolutely. You need that. That will propel you to do well. You can't, that makes total sense to me.
So who's inspiring you these days? And you can't say Grace Helbig again. Can't go back to Grace.
Oh, man. I really like Amy Schumer.
Yeah.
I, like, know the whole world loves her, but it's for good reason. Like, my favorite kind of comedy is when you have something to say. Like, it's not just random. It's not stupid. It's not out of nowhere. It's got a fucking message to it. And it's got a point. And I think she's really nailed the game on her point of view and being that feminist voice that we kind of needed in this day and age. And so I love her.
Couldn't agree more. And I get suspect when I have a friend who's a female comedian, and she went on a tirade about Amy Schumer and was upset because Amy was ruining all their material. She's like, she's saying all the stuff that we've all been saying, and now we can't say that stuff on stage because people will be like, oh, Amy said that or whatever. And I go, well, I guess, sorry, but here's the thing. She's saying it in a way that it's resonating. It's catching. So it doesn't matter if a million other people are saying the exact same thing. The way she's delivering it, I always say, like, Bria's a feminist and good on her. I think that's a cute thing for girls to get into.
It's like, wait, what?
she's a feminist, and many of the arguments that Amy makes about, you know, your expiration date in Hollywood or your fuckability or what, like, all that stuff are things that I've heard before. But I think Amy presents it in a way that speaks to dude bros.
Yeah,
she can shoot that comedy or that point of view in a way that is like the dude bro comedy, but it's the feminine perspective, the female POV. Did you see the POV porn one that she did?
No. Oh, yes, I did.
POV porn, but shot from a woman's perspective. Yeah. Was such like a great, like, it made me so ashamed to be a man. I was like, you're so right. You're so right that A, I've ever watched this stuff or like been into this stuff, but B, like, how terrible it must be to have sex as a woman.
Yeah. Usually. It's great in the beginning when you got all that adrenaline, but once you set it
down. Wait, adrenaline?
Yeah, like when you're really excited and you're doing someone for the first time. Oh, okay, like, that's fun.
I was like, are you fleeing from sex to get it exciting? And you're like, okay, and my adrenaline's up, let's go. I'm ready, I did my cardio.
The adrenaline shot, you know.
I didn't know you were into needles. That's okay, Anna, now we're getting there.
Yeah,
no, I she absolutely does it for me as well.
She's great. I always quote her her thing where she's like, oh, if we've gone to college, we've all been raped a little bit. And I'm just like, oh, it's so real.
Did you do college?
I didn't go to college. No.
So what was your path then?
I did 2 semesters of community college with an intention to major in philosophy when I dropped out. I was just like, fuck this.
Wait, just sick and tired of the school routine. Did you have YouTube going on at the same time or no?
No. This is because my sister died like right when you're supposed to enroll in school, like when all the applications were happening. So I didn't do any of that and ended up going to community college. And I just was sitting in class every day feeling like I'm not supposed to be here. I hate this. I hate my life right now. And so eventually I was like, oh, I got to change. I got to change it. And so that's when I decided to move out to LA and start doing stand up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good... I'm just trying to think of like the messages we've sent to children on this cast so far have been like, listen, go ahead and do some drugs, but wait a minute. You definitely don't need college. Just don't be afraid to be bad.
I never said I was a role model.
That's pretty good. No. But you don't get to make that choice, Anna. Yeah. Other people make that choice for you.
Well, that's fine.
And you got to choose how you're going to deal with it. Because I think that's true. Because you've never said you're a role model, but that doesn't negate the fact that some people treat you as one, right? Mm-hmm. They look up to you as that. Now, do you let that dictate the way you live your life, though?
No.
Well, then okay, you're not a fucking role model.
Yeah.
You're definitely not a role model. So now this fashion thing is insane to me because I get the sense that you, the way you described, you love to deep dive on everything. Like you'll get into it. I almost feel like you're picking up industries just to see what they're about. Like I like having
businesses.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've always had businesses. Like when I was a kid,
lemonade standy kind of shit.
Lemonades. I would pick people's flowers and then sell them back the seeds. I did this thing. I remember when I was in middle school, this girl was selling candy out of her backpack and I was like, that's fucking smart. So I bought a bunch of candy at Costco and I sold it at half the price until she didn't do it anymore. And then I jacked up the prices.
What?
Yeah. Until so, like,
you undercut a bitch in the candy game.
Yeah, dog.
That is some drug war shit, Anna.
I know. And so I was thinking about it. Like,
I love that you understood like a loss leader. At that age, you're like, fuck it, I'll take a hit on this Snickers, but this Three Musketeers in a week is going to be fucking money in the bank.
Exactly.
You broke that bitch.
Yeah, and then I would take people's tests for them for a fee or, like, write their fucking essays and be like, what grade do you want?
That's
no, you can't
so
get
Asian
an A.
Of you. God, it's so cliche.
But yeah, it's like, I've always fucking loved doing business. Like, that's fun to me.
What's the fun aspect of it? Is it the results? Is it the money? Or is it figuring out the game?
It's figuring out the strategy. Figuring out, how am I going to make the money? You know what I mean? So that's what I like. I like feeling like, oh, yeah, profit. Oh, yes, yes. That's my whole process.
can you show me that one more time just so I can breathe it in?
Yes, profit.
Oh, okay, I get it. Take that shit to Shark Tank. So when do you wake up and go, fashion? Let's do it. Or has it always been a passion?
I was actually wearing a lot of black milk in my videos. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? I should be wearing my own shit. Like, I started doing like cat shirts. And initially I just had t-shirts. And now I'm doing like...
Is that one of yours?
Yeah, this is one of mine.
I want to get Bria one of those.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely want to get Bria one of those. That's adorable.
Oh, thank you.
Are you designing or are you working with designers and saying, here's what I want?
Yeah, I'll design things. I'll do like a rudimentary design. And then I pass it off to someone who can execute it. And so this was something that I told, like, I kind of like did like a stick figure-ish version. And then my friend who's a graphic designer did the full thing.
That's so cool.
Thank you.
So tell me that process because we have absolutely failed at all. I mean, look at me. Just don't look at me, actually. This is terrible. What was the process for you in launching this?
I actually hired a girl who runs a successful online store. And I said, I'll pay you the money to teach me what you know about how to run this because I don't have time to make a bunch of fucking stupid mistakes. So she told me all the software she had, like where she bought shipping supplies, how she priced everything out, how to calculate all that stuff, the best like website to use. And so she kind of like walked me through the process from beginning to launch.
Wow, so you hired a mentor?
Yeah.
Wow.
Basically.
Okay, so she comes in and then how long was that learning
process? It took me a year to get it off the ground.
Yeah.
Because it was simply, you know, waiting on the designs and then like taking forever for manufacturing and just making all those like little decisions. Like how many shirts do I launch with? How many designs? How many colors? How many options? Unisex, male or just female. And so it was a long time of just making decisions.
And what have you found? Because I get in arguments all the time with the folks around here about our merch store because it's like we want to offer 14 different colors and 12 different this. And I read a thing ages ago, which affected me, called the paradox of choice.
Yes.
Which is if you give people too many options, they won't make one.
Yes.
They'll be paralyzed by indecision. Make the choice for them. Here's the one style it's available in. Do you want it? If not, okay.
Yeah.
Am I crazy?
No, I find that a lot in my own, in like when I'm, because I do a lot of like online window shopping just to like get into sites and see how products are presented.
Sure.
And I do agree, like the choice thing is hard, but you don't know what people are going to like until you offer a couple of choices.
Right.
So I started out, I think it was something crazy, like I think 9 designs and only 2 sold really hard. It was this one and then another one that has a bunch of like math equations and like little cat doodles on it. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, the cat things, that's my thing. And so I started doing more designs with specifically cats and then like, you know, discounting the other stuff as I go along because I'm tired of it sitting in my fucking room.
Right. You've got inventory.
Yeah.
So you pre-printed, huh? To keep costs down?
Yes. Yes, because if you do them by shirt, it takes too long. And I didn't trust like a fulfillment or merchandise service. I wanted to handle it all on my own because I felt like dealing with a third party company would be too difficult.
Yeah, well, you get one complaint about shipping or about a torn shirt or a torn whatever, and that's not on you. Literally, wasn't on you.
Yeah.
So, do you have employees now that are shipping out stuff for you, or are you handling all that?
I do it all every day
really?
As they come in. Yeah.
How the fuck? Okay, now how do you spin that plate but still churn out YouTube videos and have time to do podcasts?
It's like my little meditative thing. I like that kind of like meditative labor where you're just folding a shirt and putting in a package and stuff like that. So I don't get that many orders a day. I'll get like anywhere from like 2 to 3, or if I post a really nice Instagram photo, like 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. But I will set aside a time to do that. So if I work really hard for like a couple hours, oh, I get to do this as like my non-work.
That's your carrot at the end of the stick is more stick. It's just dyed orange.
Yeah, it's just like more.
You've convinced yourself it's a carrot. Like, this is a really wooden carrot.
Basically.
On the one hand, I admire that to the nth degree. Mm-hmm. I've told you that. I you're an inspiration. On the other hand, that mortifies me. That really does. I'm glad that this started with you saying I'm going to take more time for myself and take more time to breathe, because I've been around a lot of people who just there's some sort of hole, and like they just fill it with productivity, and it's like, well, yes, on the outside looking in, how admirable, you're so successful, and but then I've seen them get burn themselves out to the point where they go like, oh, I forgot who I am or why I even am.
Yeah,
I was absolutely just on the treadmill, blind, scrambling as fast as I could, and now I don't know where I'm at.
Yeah, and that's what I'm afraid of. I don't want to get to that point. You know, there's no joy in that. It's just work for the sake of work, and I don't want that. I only want to do stuff I really, really enjoy.
So what is your date when you roll out of bed? Is it 7 a.m.?
No.
No, you're an insomniac. So what is it, 4 a.m.?
Oh, God. No,
you're sleeping
no.
until noon?
I typically will sleep until like maybe 9.
Okay.
If we're going to the gym, if me and my boyfriend are going to the gym, 8.
Okay, so 8 or 9. Good time to wake up. Depends on what time you're going to bed, though.
Yeah.
How late are you working till? When do you actually put the head to the pillow?
I'll lay down around 1, and then I won't fall asleep till maybe 2:30.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're not like from 10 p.m. to 8 a.m. I'd be like, okay, yeah, that's a good clip. That's as much sleep as I need.
Yeah.
But no, so okay, so you're burning that candle pretty bright then.
It's not bad. I don't need a ton of sleep, and if I need a nap, I take a nap.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I can't nap, so I'm jealous of that.
Oh.
When you roll out of bed, and then what are you immediately? Is it from 9 to 10? I'm writing YouTube bits, or I'm working on the clothing stuff, or like, is your day that regimented, or is it?
It's not regimented in that terms, because you know you have like general meetings come up, you have auditions come up, so my schedule's a little all over the place, and so I have to plan accordingly. I have a kick-ass passion planner. Have you seen these? It like breaks up every day by the hour, and so like I'll highlight all the different activities that I have to do for that day, and then put all my work in between.
Wait, passion planner.
Yes. Oh my God, I gotta show you this.
Yeah, so this sounds like a 50 Shades of Grey holdover or something. This sounds like, oh wow, this is legit. This is serious, and it's a lot of dead trees, and it's highlighted.
Yeah.
Okay, so you put in the things that you want to do.
Yes.
Highlight them, so those times are blocked out, and then you put work around them, or what?
Like the highlighted stuff is stuff like it's color coded, so I'm like, oh, this is filming, these are all my improv classes, these are meetings, blah blah blah, and then in between all that stuff, I plan out my weekly to dos, like, oh, I have to make a video by this time, and I have to write it by this day, and whatnot. So it's a week by week basis.
So that is your life.
Yeah,
that
if I lose this, I'm fucked.
What now? Why with that format versus you have smart things and whatnot?
Do
no,
it
has to be tangible. Has to be tactile.
If I don't write it down, I don't remember it.
Bria's the same way.
Yeah,
she's the same way. And I go like, you have, there's so many apps, and here's the this, and she's like, no, I've got. She's got three tattered journals. One for like her things she's grateful for.
Yeah,
another thing for. Do you have the? Yeah.
Got my stand-up journal, my gratitude journal, my journal. I just got to have so many notebooks. But I got this one.
Do you have any things for your relationship? Do you guys, if there was a while where Bria was making us, before we went to bed every night, we would fill out a card with like, what did you do today? And name three things you're grateful for. Yeah, she went, ah. I went, I just want to fucking sleep.
Oh my
Let me
God.
Roll over. I'm grateful that I had food in my belly today. I'm grateful to have a bed. I'm grateful to be done with this card. Good night, slam.
I have to do that because, you know, there's been studies shown that the more grateful you are, the happier you are. Brad is just naturally happy, so he doesn't have to do any of that shit. I have to do it because I'm like, oh, I'm a bitch to live with. Like, I need to step up my gratitude game for you.
You got to search the couch cushions for things to be grateful for. You're just scraping it up. What's your go-to? What are you grateful for these days?
Usually, I'm grateful for food. I'm grateful for cats. I'm grateful when I have a good improv show.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm grateful when, like, I have a good scene, or, like, I do a good audition. I'm grateful if I call my mom. That's rare. So if I do it, I'm real proud of myself.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm sure she's grateful as well.
Yeah.
Where are your folks? Are they?
Victorville.
Victorville?
Yeah.
That's NorCal, right?
Yeah, it's on the way to Vegas.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh, Victorville.
Victorville. They have ostrich burgers.
Do they in Victorville?
Yeah.
I love ostrich burgers.
Ew.
What? Why would you ew that? Aren't you vegetarian or what?
No, no. No.
Well, then why would you ew ostrich burgers?
I've had an ostrich burger. It's dry. It's just nasty.
No, cooked wrong. Ugh. Cooked wrong. Bison, ostrich, best.
Ooh.
A buffalo burger is one of the best things too.
Really?
Yeah, especially flying to Catalina.
Ooh.
Go to the little airport there, right? Get a buffalo burger there and you can watch the buffalo roaming on the mountains.
Oh,
you can
man.
Be like, oh, you look amazing and you taste even more delicious.
That's so, so fucked good. Up.
Do you have, I'm always, because it seems like you have a very happy, healthy relationship.
Yes.
At least from this side of the table you do. What are the secrets? What is working for you guys?
Being very open and honest. So if I'm like, I know things.
Oh, you mean
so,
sexually? Like you guys are super open.
Yeah.
Yeah. And honest about.
Yeah. So like sometimes like if we're not dating, like I lose sexual attraction. So I'm like, hey, I don't feel physically attracted to you because I don't feel emotionally connected to you. So we need to go on more dates. We need to have better, cooler dates. Because like science, I've read so many articles, but like science has shown that if you do more like cool activities as a couple, your happiness level will increase. So we want to go paintballing. We want to go like on a weird train ride to like the Glacier National Park and do all that stuff. And our relationship started with like going to the gun range and then visiting like a weird art museum.
Right.
So we want to continue doing that stuff and that'll like reignite the relationship every once in a while.
So not just Indian food and Netflix again?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Let's do that.
Not just dinner and a movie, because a movie is technically work-related, so we got to do more fun, active things.
Oh, it so is.
Yeah.
It so is. I just, but where do you find time? Do you schedule?
Yes.
You schedule.
We both schedule it ahead of time, so we have vacations planned, like, way in advance, and, like, certain days planned way in advance.
When's your next vacay? Where are you going?
August 1st and 2nd, we're going to Catalina, so we'll eat a
buffalo burger, girl!
Yeah! I'll try it.
You guys taking the ferry, or are you doing a helicopter?
We're gonna do ferry.
Ferries are fun.
Yeah, we'll see. Gotta take some of that medicine. I get sick.
Oh, yeah? You get a little boat sicky?
Yeah, dog.
Oh, that's not good. That's like, you'll be all right.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
No, then you keep the weight off and then the drugs work better. We know everything now.
Exactly.
You want to go to Mexico in September?
No.
No?
Mexico's is not fine, right? Isn't it?
No. Right, I mean, the Fox News Mexico is like, yes, let's come lose even more weight in the form of your head. It'll be dangling from an overpass. But Cabo, Cancun, there are areas that are more than fine, mostly because they're run by the cartel.
Oh, okay.
So they know they can't have any violence happening there. That's the safest place to be is an area that's run by the mob, I think. Because as long as you
really?
Don't... Sure. Japan. Just don't fuck with the Yakuza. You'll be fine.
Okay.
Because people aren't going to do shit there because they know they're going to really fuck them up.
Okay, I'll go.
The cartels, they know. They know that if a busload of tourists, something happens to them at their fancy resort, oh shit, that's the lifeblood.
Yeah.
And they're invested in those properties. Mm. They know what's up. Come on, let's go.
Oh, you're so smart.
Let's go to Mexico.
I'll go.
Let's fuck around in
Mexico.
Let's do it.
Let's
go make Mexico
happen.
When
is it?
I think we're going in, well, I don't want to say exact dates, but we're going in early September.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, text it.
Oh, yeah, I'll text. I mean, you're here. When this is over, I can just physically tell you.
Oh, okay.
As well. Are you cool to take a few questions from from the kids? Is that all right?
Absolutely.
Okay, I know there's a time. I want to get you out of here on time. Alex?
Yes?
Guys, if you're watching on Twitch and you have questions for Miss Anna Akana, you can throw them out in the chat room now. Sir Alex maybe has been aggregating. Is there anything that drew a big response from chat or before we get into questions?
I mean, they love everything, Kevin.
Of course they do.
No, they do.
Of course they do. What a dodge, Alex. That was great. Like Keanu with bullets on a rooftop.
Call it a dodge.
He's like, I haven't really been paying attention, and they have not been interested in what you've been saying, Kevin. Thank you. What questions do we have then, Sir Alex?
We can start with Mal Gumag asked, Anna, were you camera shy at the beginning, or was it just way better than an open audience?
It was definitely camera shy, but it was easier because when you're filming yourself, you can just edit. So you watch it afterwards and you're like, this is fucking terrible. I'm not going to put this out in the world. And then you can do it again. There's nothing better than watching yourself, as painful as it is, because then you can see everything that's going wrong.
I can't bring myself to watch half my stuff. Very few shows. I could watch like my True TV show. I can watch for some reason. I think it's because someone else edited it and did stuff with it that is like, okay, it wasn't on me, but it's so hard when I'm directly in control of things to watch it back, because then not only do I hate me in it, but I hate the things that I did to me. Like the editing choices and the, you know, I hate all of it. I'm such a pessimist that way.
You just gotta keep doing it until you're like, whatever.
I filmed a thing with you, but that was a very scripted sort of on rails thing. When you're doing more of a vlog thing, do you just talk, and if you flub, you immediately pick right back up with that thought and then just chop the edit that way?
Unless the flub is cute, then I'll keep
it. Then you'll leave
flub.
It in? Yeah.
Yeah.
You watch that cute and you go, oh, Anna. You touched the little, touched the CRT. Yeah. Go, okay.
I know, right. When I'm being cute.
You're sweet. Let's put that in at the end. That's a button. We're going to put that in after the like, subscribe handle.
Bloopers are great. Everyone loves a blooper.
Loves a good bloop. What else, Alex?
Optronic said, what
you like the way he fills it with, a great way to just take up space and air.
No dead air ever, guys. What's the best advice you can give to people who are struggling creatively?
Ooh, make a video about how you're struggling creatively. I literally have a video called Running Out of Ideas because I was running out of ideas.
So hang a lantern on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk about it. Talk about how you can't come up with shit, but you want to come up with good shit, but everything you think of is nothing. Just do it. And then because that way you get it out of the way because it's not on your mind anymore. And then you can move on to something else.
Right. That's true. Yeah. I mean, and you're going to naturally discover something through that process.
Oh, yeah.
If you just start going as you're scrubbing away at your soul and scraping off layers of your own existence, you'll eventually hit on something.
Oh, yeah. It's like how Louis C.K. talks about how he had to do that whole like year of a new material because he was inspired by George Carlin.
Right.
And then he would just dig deeper and deeper and deeper. There's always somewhere to go.
Yeah. Are you a fan of Louis' show as well?
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great.
Every time I watch, I love it. It's inspiring. And then I just go like, but it's not a, I got to stop thinking it's a comedy.
Yeah.
It's not really a comedy. There are funny moments in it. But
it's not really a comedy.
Super dark.
Yeah.
What else are you watching these days?
Oh, love Game of Thrones.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. My boyfriend and I just started watching The Sopranos.
That's the Thrones is the sword one with the stabbing, right?
Yeah.
People stabby stab?
Yeah.
And dragons?
Yeah.
Cool. Haven't seen it.
What?
No. No,
you're
I know.
Such a nerd.
I know. I couldn't get into it. I tried watching the first episode, and it was like Snoresville. And no.
Oh my god.
No.
Ooh, respect -5.
I don't know. That means there was something, or we're now -75.
I think -79. Actually.
Oh shit. Okay. Good to know where I was at beforehand. You're just now getting into Sopranos, though. So
yes.
That's also shitty of you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, it's okay. It's a great series that you're getting into.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Try Halt and Catch Fire. I talk about it all the time. I know. No one has, and that's the problem. It's on AMC. First season was okay. Good enough to get me interested. Season 2 is fucking phenomenal. Halt and Catch Fire. It's about, it's like a high drama about the early to mid 80s like PC boom. So it's like takes place at this fictional company where they're making like the competitor to Apple or Microsoft computers.
I like that.
But it's really about like relationships and everything, but it's set against the backdrop of technology and everything. And season 2 is like the internet is a thing. It's going to happen. And these characters are discovering it because it's late 80s, early 90s now. And so it's kind of fun to like watch them stumble through what they think cell phones might be, what the internet may be, or whatever, with really good writing and acting and drama around it.
I'll have to definitely watch that because I'm a huge fan of Silicon Valley.
Oh, this is great. This is like it's a dramatic Silicon Valley.
Okay.
It's fantastic.
Perfect.
You'll dig it. What else, Alex? What else we got?
Harbinger3 asked, would either of you consider running for president?
Mm.
That was my childhood dream.
I'd be your VP.
Yeah?
Not that you asked, but I would be.
I'd take you as my VP.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, let's do it.
A Portuguese on the ticket. What's our platform? Where do we stand on things?
Everything's great. We can make it better. That's our whole slogan.
Everything's great. 2016. Everything's great. What is it? I mean, gay rights. I'm assuming you're a fan of the Supreme Court's decision.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Gun control. Where do you stand on that?
I'm a little conflicted. I think people should be able to carry guns, but I think it, yeah, because no, either way, criminals are going to get their hands on guns, whether or not you register or anything. So I think it's just a little bit more of a check, just more restrictions.
You have a right to bear arms, but there's also a right to make it difficult to have an arm to bear.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, we talk about like driver's licenses. Well, because you're going to be in a metal box hurling down the highway and you could slam into someone and cause serious harm. So we have to have tests and courses and you have to re-up. Okay, so why not for fucking firearms?
Yeah.
Have all the firearms you want. Great, grand, wonderful. But let's put a barrier to entry there.
Absolutely.
Because I own guns. And that's my opinion. I own several guns. But the test to get a gun was so laughable. It was, I mean, I took it. The guy hands me a book that has everything ripped out except what the questions are going to be, essentially, because they want to sell a fucking gun. They don't want me to fail a test. They want to sell a gun. So I sit at a desk, and I'm like, I don't need this book. He hands me the test because the test has questions. And by the way, you only have to pass it with like a 75% or something. It's like really... You can draw a chocobo with the Scantron bubbles and still pass it. That's the spoiler. So I sit down, and the questions are literally like, okay, how many alcoholic beverages is it okay to consume before operating a firearm?
Wow.
2, 3, 10, or none?
Wow.
I feel like 2 is too few. They're trying to trick me there. None is just outrageous. I feel like 3 is the proper buzz that I need to settle my shakes.
Oh, fuck. I put 10.
Before I go establishing justice. It's just so... So
dude,
dumb.
That's like the fucking motorcycle test. I got my motorcycle license and don't have a motorcycle because that'll be stupid, but I...
But you just wanted to get...
I just wanted to have
it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so stupid. You just take 2 days of riding around in a small circle on a motorcycle.
The NSF course or the MSF or... MSF, right?
MSF
yeah,
course.
I did that too. And
oh
I'm like... And then I went and got an 1100cc fucking bike and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm a child.
Yeah, you never go on the road in those courses
no,
or on the highway.
No. You're in a parking lot. Did you have to go over plywood?
Yes!
Did
they you drive over the fucking plywood.
You start, like, hour one, you're pedaling on the bike.
Yeah.
Just with your feet. And I'm like, okay, I'm stabilizing. I am somebody. And then suddenly 2 hours later, you're driving over plywood.
Yeah.
And they're teaching you to, like, oh, if there's an object in the road, like...
Sit up.
Yeah. If there's a cinder block or an infant, just go ahead and sit up a little bit. You'll be fine.
We never went above 10 miles an hour. How can you give me a license to take this thing on the fucking road?
You can, though, and they did.
They did. I have a license. I can't operate a motorcycle.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. Unlike a car... You're the only one that goes in that scenario.
That's true.
Like, it's not like it's, oh, Anna's on the freeway getting squirrel in her motorcycle. It's like, you're going to be a bug on someone's windshield. Like, you're going to dent the Prius,
but
you're gone. You are disintegrated. So I think that's the difference of like, look, if you want to do it, you can, but Jesus isn't taking the wheel on this one. This one's up
crazy.
To you.
I like dropped it so many times and she was like, it's fine. You can drop it as many times in the course. Like, I was like, am I going to fail? Cause I keep dropping this thing. She was like, only if you get stuck under it is when it's bad.
No. I got those S turns. That's where I got hit.
Oh,
I got
I
hit
hated
the stupid
that
S turns. All right. So, gun control. We talked gay marriage. You're all for it.
Yeah.
Okay. What are the other big issues of the day?
Oh,
immigration.
Pro-choice.
Oh, pro-choice. Are you pro-choice?
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoa, crazy. Crazy for a young, empowered female to be pro-choice.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I've had an abortion.
You have?
Yeah, I did.
Really?
Yeah, I was real young. I was with a guy who wouldn't hold my hand in public. I was real poor. And
How old?
I was 20.
20. Okay. You were with a guy who wouldn't hold your hand in public.
Yeah.
Okay. Not a problem in private, though, apparently.
Yeah.
Got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
What was that conversation with him?
It was not a conversation. I thought we were at least going to have a discussion about it. He was just like, no, the abortion is the only option. And so I was like, I thought about it. I was like, okay, I know I can't support this kid. If I did have a kid, I would resent it. This guy clearly isn't going to marry me.
Right.
And so I did it. And then I remember I felt so good about the decision because after the fact, he was like, hey, so how do you want to pay me back for your half of that? Do you want to do $10 a week or?
This is what he says to you. You want to be on a flex pay, like a payment plan for that kid? Because there's going to be interest here. As in, like, I had zero interest in a child, but you owe me interest on this abortion. What a dick.
Yeah, that's why I love Brad so much. He's just a good guy.
Well, but if that's the bar, he could throw you into a dresser and still not be as shitty as that guy necessarily.
I think
that's pretty terrible. Like, well, he's not as bad as the guy that wanted me to pay him for half the abortion.
Brad's a gem.
No, Brad is amazing. Yeah. He's a great, like, he has that radial effect of smileage.
Yes.
Like, I met him for the first time, and I'm like, I don't know you, but I'm smiling with you now. Hi. Let's play. Like, he has that. And you have that, too. But you also were with him, so I don't know.
Yeah. He's very contagious.
There was a study recently that came out, because those who argue against abortion rights and whatever, and I shouldn't say, and whatever. That's so dismissive. But I am so clearly pro-choice that I'm like, for me, it's a whatever. But I'm trying to be pragmatic-ish. Mm-hmm. They always cite that women, an overwhelming percentage of them regret the procedure, and they always say like they do. They have mm-hmm. they're sad, they're depressed, clinically depressed for blah blah blah. But those studies are always done immediately after the procedure. Which this new study came out recently, which no one likes to talk about because what it says is like. Yeah, of course it's an emotionally charged issue, an emotionally charged procedure.
Mm-hmm.
Of course there are second guesses and thoughts and whatever that happened after that thing. But overwhelmingly, years later, All of the women.
Yes.
They are so glad that they made that decision and that they had the right to make that decision. And it's like, well, of course.
Well, of course. And the common known study is that when crime dropped, when abortion was legalized, because those unwanted, neglected, abused children weren't around to be criminals.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah. They did. The children weren't being brought into the world unwanted. People said, what about adoption? It's like, well, there's plenty of overcrowding already in places where people need to adopt. And it's just the notion of anybody in, because look, legislatively speaking, it's mostly old white dudes, right?
Yeah.
It's old white guys that don't understand the internet. They're in ill-fitting suits and they're the ones who are dictating everything, mostly predicated on lobbyist dollars.
Yes.
So the fact that they have as much say as they do on what any woman does with her body, they don't have to carry that thing, that unwanted thing for 9 months. They don't have to live with that thing, that mistake, that crime potentially in some situations for 18 years minimum. They have nothing to do with that. They get to wash their hands of all that, yet they're the ones who get to decide what happens to the body and what doesn't.
I'm really excited to see what happens when all those guys die.
Yeah, will they be replaced by...
Will they be, like, will we have more of that? Because I feel like we're becoming a more liberal country. Like, will we replace them with, like, more ethnic people and,
see,
like,
I don't
more
know.
Democrats? Or will more old white people fill the seats?
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, the current young white people will grow old and slowly move into those positions.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as I think we might be in a bubble with our social media and living in Los Angeles and doing the jobs that we do, so we think, yeah, we're heading in a liberal direction. Mm. Granted, Supreme Court decision, healthcare, stuff like that. That is a bit of a canary in the liberal coal mine, like, or the Republican coal mine, I guess. With that said, access to things like Planned Parenthood, access to sex education, even forget abortions and condoms and whatever, that in some places is disappearing so rapidly. Oh yeah,
holy shit!
Yeah, in some places they're putting provisions in place that make you have to have a certain level of medical equipment in your facility in order to be able to perform it. And so what that does is it ends up closing thousands of clinics and whatever. And if history is our guide, the rate of abortions may drop slightly, but they're still going to happen. And the ones that do happen are going to be exponentially more dangerous. They're going to happen in back alleys and in vans and in all the cliche spots people talk about. So can we on our ticket just be supremely pro-choice?
Yeah.
Can we do that?
We should be extremely pro-choice.
Like, as in, that's the default. You're pregnant. Yeah. We're going to assume...
You want an abortion.
That we're going to abort it.
You're in a happy marriage and you're ready. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, no.
No.
We're taking that. Now, you got. If you want to sign the form, if you want to agree to the terms of service. Did your parents know that you were going through that at the time?
I told my mom after the fact.
After.
Yes. I didn't want to tell them about it. I didn't want them to say they would take it on.
That's what I was wondering. If you were concerned that they would try to let their... intentions get in the way of your decision.
And I think they would have wanted it, so I was like, no.
Well, yeah, it's your decision.
Yeah.
How did mom react?
She was really disappointed. She was really sad. But when I told her who it had been with, she was like, oh, okay. So I was like, okay, my choice is validated.
Yeah, we didn't need that branch on the family tree.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. We can let that go. Was that a difficult conversation? Was that like a mom, I need you to sit down and tell you something? Or was it like, hey, I did this thing, I just want you to know?
I just kind of like brought it up. I've always been like really candid with my mom. I don't know
like,
why.
Pass the cranberry sauce, by the way. I was with child.
Yeah, we were like talking about something. And then she was like, she mentioned something about abortion. I think she was making a joke. I was like, oh, yeah, I had one. And she was like, what? God. I mean, my mom's, she has to love me, she's my mom, so I don't care.
It is such the loophole, isn't it?
Yeah.
I remember I was like 21 and in LA and I smoked pot for the first time and I know, right? Ooh. And I remember having a conversation with my mom and I was like, I'm going to tell you what I did this weekend. And I started to tell her and she's like, and she started to unleash and get mad and I don't want to hear. I was like, listen, here's the thing. We have a good relationship. I tell you everything now. If you want that to continue, that's fine. I'm still going to do the thing. I can just not tell you about it. And the reason I know I can still do the thing is that I know you have to love me. I'm your son.
Yeah.
You could choose not to, but you have to.
You just have to.
Like, that's the thing. That's what a mom does. You have to love me. So
no.
I can either be open and honest with you or I can hide things from you.
No.
But you're still going to love me.
Yeah.
She's like, all right, tell me everything. Tell me everything.
I mean, I'm always with my mom. I'm like, hey, I'm the only daughter you got left now.
Oh, Anna. Anna. That's... so fucking awesome and terrible. Alex, do we have one more zinger? Otherwise...
That's a good note to end on.
That was a great note to end on. That's what I mean. Like, that is a good note to end on. All right. Twitch, thank you so much for watching. Anna, you are a gem.
Thank you.
You really are. It's been, you did Real Housewives of Horror for us,
yes.
Which is how I first got to meet you and, like, was introduced to your stuff. And just the moment Bria and I started looking you up, we're like, oh my God. Like, you're an inspiration. Like, it's your work ethic, your ability to navigate multiple businesses. That fucking journal, I will never understand. That gives me a panic attack, as busy as I like to think I am. That freaks me the fuck out, but I'm so happy for you.
Oh, thank you.
So glad that the YouTube thing is kicking ass. Congrats on the million.
Thank you.
Subscribers.
Yes.
And the dollars as well. I know. I saw the chopper that
millions
you descended
of dollars.
From that rope ladder as you got here. Congrats on all that. Where can people find you and see you and follow you and engage with you and get that awesome Catstronaut shirt?
Well, the clothing line is ghostandstars.com. My YouTube channel is just my name, Anna Akana.
Whoa. What? What's going on? What, did you hear that?
What?
Alex, did I? Is Alex in here?
I have no idea what that was.
Okay, I heard something. Yeah.
Was there a crash?
Well, as you said ghosts, I heard a fucking voice and noise.
My computer volume isn't even on.
Oh.
Let's talk about the clothing line. Where can people get it and see it? Holy shit, that was weird. I had no idea what that was.
Oh, that's my sister. Hi, Christina.
Hi, sweetheart. Hi.
Hey. Ghostandstars.com, and my YouTube channel is just my name, Anna Akana.
And Ghost and Stars is also on the Twitter. It's on the Twitter.
Yes.
Right? Because I saw it. And that thing, we need to get, let's get some more followers there.
Oh, cool. It's at Love Ghost Stars.
Love Ghost Stars.
Yeah.
Any sales going on right now? Any craziness or no?
Yeah, you can use the discount code Stardust and get $10 off.
$10?
Yeah.
I'm expecting 10%.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, girl. Yeah.
You know, I like a good sale.
Use that Stardust code. Get your 10% off. Show them the Catstronaut shirt. Make sure they can see it because it's fucking adorable. One small step for kitties.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else I'm missing? Do you have another motion picture coming out or anything that I need to know about? What about improv shows in LA?
Oh, I'm at the very ending of Ant-Man, so go see Ant-Man.
You really?
Yeah, it's really cute. It's really good. I like it.
Where are you in the ending of Ant-Man?
When was I?
Yeah, no, I mean, Bria saw it. I want to ask, where should I be on the lookout for? Is it like...
It's like almost like the last scene of Ant-Man.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to ask her if she saw you.
Yeah.
Fucking congrats on everything.
Thank you. Thanks
so
for
good. Thank
me.
You for making the time.
Absolutely.
Guys, if you want to support this madness, of course, you can always subscribe on Twitch. There's a button there. You can leave a tip. You can back us at patreon.com/theattack. We do plenty of behind-the-scenes stuff over there. We also play games for premium members on our servers. In the meantime, that is it. Thank you again, Anna Akana. I appreciate it. And hey, kisses, hugs, and belly rubs. Good night, everyone.